Good evening, Palace fans near and far. My name is Jill Holyoke, and this is the Red and Blue Review. I'm standing in for Nick Philpott, who's currently sunning himself somewhere in Spain. Welcome to a sunny, balmy back garden in South London. Tonight, I'm joined by a panel from new and one from old. Lucy, Tim, and Ian in a second. Paul Bristow, good evening, mate. Hope you're well. Andy Hopper. Lucy's going to take care of the chat tonight, everyone. Tim's going to be our stats operator, and Ian is going to give out the synopsis of the first and second half. So, everyone knows what they've got to do. Before we carry on, we've just got a little bit of housekeeping to do. It would be remiss of us to at the Red and Blue Review to miss out the passing of two ex-Palace players. One you may have heard of, the older generation certainly, and one that a lot of people will have heard of. John Hughes was a Scottish international who played 23 times in the 1971-72 season. Scores four goals, the left-sided striker. And Andreas Rubins was a Latvian international in 2000. He played 37 times for Palace, scoring just twice. Won a memorable screamer, I'm sure some of you will definitely remember, in the League Cup. Our thoughts and condolences go to the family and friends of them both. On a slightly happier note, again, Red and Blue Review would like to wish John Knox a happy 40th birthday. Happy birthday, John. Well done. If anyone else would like a shout out for any sensible reason, just give us a contact through most of the social media outlets. So, anyway, first game in. Lucy, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much, Joel. Very, very happy to have the football season back.
Good, good. And Tim, long time no see. Well, a week, really.
A week, really, yeah. But a lot happens in a week, Joe. A lot happens in a week.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's with our crap and people drop out at the last second. So, yeah, Ian offered to come on. So, welcome, Ian. Long time no see and speak.
Yes, yes, it's really good to be back. And I'm so pleased to see you all fit and well. It's really good. And as Lucy and Tim said, you know, it's been a short week, and it's good to see the season back.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's get into it. To a Holmes Allen backdrop of a newly claimed 1861 history. Just need to just stick something in there. Palace are the oldest club playing at the professional level at the moment, worldwide. Currently, they are the second oldest club in London, behind Cray Wanderers, who have got FA accreditation, and they're a year earlier, 1860. But anyway, Friday evening, bought an original South London club, Arsenal, to Sellers Park. With the Sky cameras present and their microphones planted next to the Arsenal fans, the 22-23 season opener was eagerly awaited. Tim, have you got the teams, please?
I certainly have. So, as Nigel has kindly put up, we have Guaita in goal, Klein, Mark, because I can't say his surname either, Anderson, Mitchell, Schlupp, Decore, Eze, Zaha, Edward, and he who shall not be named. And on the bench, we can see Johnson, Ward, Richards, Riederwell, Lubitsch, Hughes, Ibuobi, Mateta, and Plange.
Okay, so four of our new players, three of them being on the bench, and the core playing. Ian, what think of Decore being introduced immediately?
I think obviously with the injuries to Jimmy Mack, Luca obviously coming off the back of a poor season, I think obviously you're going to spend 20 million quid. You know, we're not like Man City, Liverpool, whatever. We're not just going to sit him on the bench and send him out to pasture. He's got to play, isn't he? So I think it was the right thing to do. I think the team was possibly the strongest team we could have put out, injuries apart, but whether or not we start with the same starting 11 next time round, I'm not entirely sure.
Tim, did you expect the Decore to be starting?
I think he had to, because obviously with Gallagher not being with us, we were short in the middle. Looking at what we had on the bench, I didn't think he could play anybody else but Decore from the start, to be honest.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into it. Ian, not only were you there, but you are doing the first half synopsis. Off you go, mate.
Right. Okay. Well, this has been a while. So let's see if I can remember it, because I'm obviously my memory's going being so old. It was good. What I would say is, before we even start with the match itself, thoughts on the TIFO. I thought the TIFO, you know, We're not necessarily the biggest supporters of the HF here, but credit where credit's due. They put a lot of time and effort into that. They've obviously worked with the club to get that up and down, full safety gear and everything else. That's exactly what I would expect the HF to be doing. So fair play, lads. Well, well done. Onto the match, though. Obviously, I think before the match started, and obviously pre-season, we've had a bit of a disjointed one, haven't we, with half the squad not being able to travel, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess it was only anticipated that we'd start slowly, not necessarily quite as slowly as we did. And obviously Arsenal, having spent 120 million, were going to start fast. And they certainly came out the trapdoors quicker. In fact, I think before they even scored, you know, Wilf gave a chance away, and he very languid on the ball, tried to cheeky back heel. Jesus, who was on fire, dipped in between four or five players, and you thought he was going to put it in the back of the net. I think it went out to Martinelli, who always scores against us, and pushed it wide. The signs were there early doors, I think, with regards to how things were going to pan out. And then, obviously, we started to settle in. Do you want me to talk about the goal, Joe, or not? Or do you just want me to talk about the pattern of the first half?
Well, you can do, yeah. I mean, if you just go through the first half as you see and remember it, and then we can okay. Obviously, you know, we can talk about the goal after you finish the first half.
All right, then. So, obviously, I think that Mitchell started slowly. I have been a little worried about Mitchell. I don't think he was closing his man down quick enough. They were certainly targeting him. They were playing with a five and sometimes seven across the midfield, meant that we were very narrow and allowing the overlap on the wings, on the left and the right-hand side. As a result, we were under the cosh, certainly for the first 15, 20 minutes. And then obviously they managed to get a corner, and it was clearly a well-worked corner. They clearly knew what they were doing. They were going to pile everyone into the box, and Zinchenko, who I think Eduard should have actually been picking up, but I guess you can let him off. You can understand there's enough people in the box. He's just floated around the back, and he's put back a lovely header, and then there was a bit of a scramble and they got a goal. I think they were worthy of that goal at the time. And I'm pleased that obviously us as the crowd got back behind the boys and everything else. And we started to see a bit more pressure. And things were pretty even after that. In fact, we had a really, really good chance. The ball came in on a cross in Edouard, probably 6 yards out, point blank, straight at Ramsdale. Now, Ramsdale, as we were talking just before we went on live, he's shipped a lot of goals against us, and I think he's obviously grown as a keeper. And it was a great reflex save, to be fair, because at half, you know, half a yard either side, it would have been in the back of the net. But it showed signs of promise, I think, at that point. And we were pushing on the attack. We still didn't see enough of Wilf, still didn't see enough of IU. And when they were on the ball, they just kept running down blind alleys. And Wilf was certainly having a battle with Ben White. The ref was allowing quite a few niggles and quite a few. They were feigning injury a lot. I know that later on in the second half, as they went down like a sack of spuds. But I'd preferred the ref to have actually been a bit tougher on them at that particular time. But we just weren't getting anything out of them. And I'm not sure whether or not it's the formation that led to that, whether it's, as I say, the disjointed pre-season, but we certainly weren't flowing. I don't think there was much. There was a lot of posturing. There was a lot of possession, but there really wasn't any cutting edge from either. Because that goal that they scored was pretty much the... there was a shot from Zinchenko, which deflected up. But other than that, they didn't really offer much, and it was pretty much a stalemate until half-time.
Okay, well, Tim, I'm coming to you in a minute. Luce, if you can give us a little bit from the chat. I can see loads of people in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to do a few hellos just before we sort of come back round to the game. So hello to Paul and Andy, and we've got Daniel there. Wendy, Tim asked you to put the kettle on. We've got birthday boy John watching as well. It's also my brother Phil's birthday as well. So Phil, if you're watching, we've got a couple from... is it County Mayo as well, as someone out in Arizona as well? That's Duncan. Happy new season, all Duncan listening in from the Grand Canyon, Arizona. Pretty amazing. And John Lyons as well. Right, so let's go on. So Stephen Isle says that Guata could have done better with the goal. What do we think about that? I know there's some goalkeeping prowess in your family, Mr. Lyons.
Well, that was a loaded question. I'll never give my brother credit for anything. I think it was a little harsh. I'm not sure how long VG is going to be our number one goalkeeper, if I'm honest. But we'll see. I think it'll be a bit harsh to blame him for that. They just wanted it more. They're a taller side. You know, we are quite a small side still. And that's the only thing with having Gerhi at the back. Anderson's going to pick the big man up, but there are about five big men. And having lost... Chekiate as well, I don't think that's going to change either. So I think that could cause us an issue. I think crosses as a whole, whether it be from a corner or whether in it from open play, I think they are going to cause us big problems this season.
Yeah. And so going back to you, Tim, from the perspective of, sorry, Joe, from the first half, there's a couple of comments here. Eze was disappointing in the first half. And also, there's another question with regards to the first half as well. Where's it gone? The comments are going so quickly. Why didn't we start the game so well, having dominated the second half? Tim, over to you.
So the stats for the first half, it's quite interesting when you split them down half by half when you see the total stats for the whole game. But first half, basically we had 45% of the game. Arsenal had 55%. Shots, we had three. They had five. Shots on target, one from us, two for Arsenal. Corners, one for us, two for them. Fouls, which I don't agree with, but fouls, eight by us and five by Arsenal.
Well, I mean, 55. Go on, Luce.
Oh, sorry. I'll keep it with you, Joe. Sorry. I'm getting all excited.
Yes. So the 45% versus 55. I thought that it looked a lot worse than that, to be honest with you. I thought they absolutely battered us from every angle. They looked like they had much, much more of a threat. I mean, Jesus, when he went through them, and he was just taking us on at will. I was convinced that he was just going to get into the area. We were going to kick him. They were going to get a penalty. And I was Martinelli should have scored just before he actually did. Left foot, 6 yards out. was a bit of a shocker. The chance that we had, Tim, let's go to their goal. I immediately commented that I thought it was a little bit of a flappy hand by Guaita. I thought he could have done better with that. And then obviously they're 1-0 up. Edouard, the free kick comes in from Eze. It's headed back across the area. Fantastic cross, much the same as theirs. And Edouard gets a very, very good header. And their goalkeeper Ramsdale gets the strong hand and makes the save. Do you think you should have done better with that, Tim?
Sometimes it's when you're actually at the game and you're watching it, especially when you don't get it in the replay, you can lose track of it a bit. Having seen photos and like the replay of that chance, I think he did pretty well to get ahead to it. He was ducking down. He was under pressure. Yeah, that was me being deafened by a drunk Australian next to me. But, you know, he did well to get down there. He was under pressure. It was a good header. It was on target. 6 inches either side, and it would have been a goal. I don't think we can blame him. I mean, Benteke would have got nowhere near it for a start. On VG, on the keep, I said before the season started, I think Buckland should be our number one. I just don't really have very much confidence, especially when it comes to crosses. He doesn't command the box well enough for me. He's not strong enough. I mean, he's not the biggest keeper anyway, but I just like to see him be a bit more forceful. But their goal, I mean, to my mind, it smack of Arsenal had a really good pre-season where they were together. We had a pre-season, half the team the other side of the world. I think for that first 25 minutes, you said, Joe, that I was expecting a cricket score at one point. But I think you could tell that's the difference in the pre-season they had, the one that we had.
Well, I'd like to discuss that. But after the game's finished, the point that we had half our squad 9,000 miles away and the other half, you know, over here. But E, if you can give us your take on the second half, please, mate.
Okay, yeah, certainly. One thing I didn't cover in the first half is pretty much because I didn't see it from the Holmesdale end, is that I understand that there was a potential penalty incident with Gabriel, and I know, having read it since, seen the media since, is that, you know, people like Ferdinand and that were suggesting it was a penalty. So maybe. I totally get that we were battered for the first 30 minutes, but I think for the rest of the game, as we'll go on to discuss the second half, I don't think we were that far behind them at all. And I think they were probably a little fortunate to get away. So, yeah, so Xhaka got booked for diving, as he normally does, just before the half time. And I sit right towards the tunnel and... he was very vocal towards our fans and had to be pushed into the dressing room for fear of anyone getting their phones out as all the phones started coming out. So he was obviously on a tightrope and they were starting to feel the pressure. So we came back out and I think overall, let's just say that I think overall we started off a lot better. We were moving the ball a lot quicker than we were. I'd love to know what Vieira said to them, but we were holding our own. They had a few fleeting moments, but really, really didn't trouble us much other than the goal. But up until that period, we were camped in their the final third, out the half-line line and the final third, and giving it a good go. I think it was nice to see Eze was being employed as almost like a number 10. I know that's what Vieira is trying to employ him as. And I think in the first half, they absolutely starved him at the ball. And the few times he did get the ball, he was stifled out. He still looks a yard too slow for me at the minute. But I think obviously that will come. I mean, the Achilles injury is a horrible injury to have, but it's just good to have him there. I think Vieira is going to have to work a way of getting him on the ball a bit more if we're going to have that formation. Then you've got, is that someone Chinese turned up or something? And then we continue to put the pressure in. I think Wilf put in a lovely ball into Eze, and the whole stand stands up thinking, yes, this is it. And he passed it right into Ramsdale midriff. And Ramsdale must have been, you know, the most thankful player on the pitch, because I don't think he could have back passed it softly or accurately enough if he'd have tried. That was a woeful shot. And that could quite easily have turned the game. That would have made it 1-1 at the time. There were still a few niggly fouls. Then, obviously, the subs happened. IU, I think, put a lot of work in, but probably deserved to get taken off. In fact, he didn't go off. Sorry, it was, it was Eze that went off at Ebiowee. And I was hoping to see Ebiowee on a bit sooner. If you'd like, because I think he only went on with about 5 minutes to go. And seeing as that we hold him in such high regard already, I would love to have given him a sniff. But what I will say is that 5 minutes that he was on for, I think he's probably proved that he should be starting. And it's not what was, and also Wintercore, who I think had a really solid game. You can tell that he's just so trained to play that position. He just rotates around it in a circle, doesn't do much flashy, gets the ball, shifts it, finds a man, gets the ball, shifts it, finds a man. He went off, obviously he was struggling. I think it was around the 74th, 75th minute. He was struggling with the pace of the game. And as we've seen subsequently, because obviously that was the first game subsequently in a lot of games, a lot of players have been struggling with coming back, et cetera, et cetera. Certainly in his heat. And then Luca came on, and we just think, oh my God, you know, what's he going to do? But fair play to Luca, you know, and we've always been on this stream, you know, able to hold our hands up and say, look, fair play. If we've been digging someone out and if they've done well, they've done well. I thought he's looked the sharpest in that 15 minutes or so than he did the entire of last season. He actually looked really good. And I'm hoping that's the sign of things to come, in that we players are now playing for their places. They know they just can't coast in this squad. Hopefully that is the case. So he did really well when he came on. Mateta, when he came on for Edouard, I think Edouard is the best striker we've got in the club. He always gets the ball in close to feet, always manages to get a shot off. Unfortunately, I don't think he's a lone striker. He has to play off of someone, which is maybe why Vieira is talking about a number 10 and a playmaker just to play him in. Mateta, on the other hand, has already shown his worth. He's a bit of a bully, and he actually gave Saliba and Gabriel a tough ride for the 30 minutes he was on, and long may it continue. So I think with the squad, we've got options, and again, I think that's such a good thing to see. And then obviously towards the end, Saka gets down the right hand side, puts in what I thought at the time was a fantastic shot on goal. Again, you didn't see it from the home stand, that it was actually a deflection from Gay. Whether or not there's anything he could have done about it, it was going into the box. It was going wide. Gay wasn't to know that. And I just think it flattered them, that second goal, for sure. Their fans, to be fair, their fans were really loud when they sung, but they only sung a couple of times, and then probably for a prolonged period after they scored the second goal, and that was probably more than they deserved. I think 2-1, maybe even a draw, had Eze put it in, would have been a fair result at the end of the day. But after the first 30 minutes, it was, oh my God, where's this season going to go? By the end of full time, I'm quite confident.
Yeah. I agree, yes, a very good take on the second half. I'm going to come to you for the stats in a second. Okay, so we'll have the stats. Go on then, Tim, for the second half.
So basically, second half, you got the stats up there, but it just shows second half, possession, Palace 67%, Arsenal 33%. Shots, Palace 7, Arsenal 5. It's got down here, shots on target, 1, Arsenal 0, but I'm guessing own goal doesn't count. Corners, Palace 2, Arsenal 3, fouls 8-6. So those are the stats. Just getting back, I just want to bring up Ayu, because I am definitely now in camp gel when it comes to Ayu. I've seen quite a bit of him now. And it's really interesting because there was two comments in the chat, literally about three apart, where you had Andrew Adams saying he thought Ayu had a good game. And I'm sorry, I missed who it was, saying, why is Ayu getting all this praise? Now, I'm in that camp because I would never question his commitment, the effort he puts in, but his end product is pathetic for a Premier League player. Getting paid what he gets, the number of times he got crosses in, the number of times he could have played a better ball, but he didn't. And it happens game in, game out. And unfortunately, too many people give him too much, too much leeway. But, oh, he tries hard, he puts a lot of effort in, he does a lot of running, he gets a lot of free kicks. Big deal. We're at, surely, as a club, 10th year in the Premier League, we should now be expecting better quality, and we shouldn't be happy up with a player who's basically an average championship player, still taking a... I mean, like Ian said, Iwobi, when he came on in the last 5 or 6 minutes, did more and showed more attacking intent and more purpose than I did in the previous 80 minutes or whatever. So I don't think IU should start again. We got Iwobi, we got other players. I just think the time has come that he is now sort of plays.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know we can go. It's the first game of the season. I'm not going to start baiting everyone about Ayu. I don't need to. But what I will say is his best run in the entire game was when he picked the ball up on the right-hand side and he ran sideways right over to the other side of the pitch. And then he turned around and he started coming back the other way, but they put three players around him and he passed it backwards. I'm just saying. Anyway, listen, I want to go back to some points about what Ian covered. And then we'll come to you, Luce, because I know I can see the chat is flying through. So just really quickly, the ball for Wilf to Eze, where he should have scored, was, you know, and I've looked at it 2 or 3 times today. It was a decent, you know, he hit well, he bred himself, he comes out, he's a very good keeper, Ramsdale. He knows what to do, made himself big. Eze went low and straight when he should have just opened his body up. A bit like Haaland did today against West Ham. I think Eze is probably on 60 a week and Haaland's on 500, which is why Eze never scored and Haaland did. Anyway, the second point, very, very valid point again about Luka. He has played very well when he played in Australia. I thought he played all right. And what we have to remember is he had an absolute nightmare last year because, you know, he did lose his dad, and it's obviously it affected him. He did say it affected him big time. And I think something like that, you just don't get over it. You can't just be a professional sportsman one day and then just go back home and then start crying because one of your parents or family members passed away. It is, you know, shockingly, it can affect people terribly. And I think that's exactly what happened. I think he's getting back to his best. And the other thing as well, now he is getting, you know, now he is trying to move on, because you have to move on, otherwise it will just destroy you, is that he has now got competition for his place, which is competition is always good. And the goal, I know you said it flattered, the second goal flattered them, and it did flatter them as well. It nearly flattened my remote control, because as soon as that second goal went in, I was sitting outside where I am now, and I launched it at the fence, and I do not know how it's never smashed. And I'll be totally honest with you, I never saw whatever minute they scored, that was the end for me. I never watched anything after that. So you guys, just come around and say whatever, and I'll just have to take your finger for it. Anyway, Luce, in the chat, kill it.
Okay, so... lots of comments on AU, but let's sort of put AU over there. We've done him now. it's also coming back, and people mentioning, sort of give Anderson a mention as well, and sort of Mr. Lyons, I'm sure that we can come to you with regards to that shortly. George Uwagru, Edward needs service, and I believe someone else says that at Celtic, he sort of played as two up front as well. Yeah, that's Andrew Adams. Thanks, Andrew. Rob Donovan, second goal came from AU attacking in their area instead of shooting, turned back on himself and he lost the ball and he scored. So moving on, again, Mark Corbett agrees Anderson was great. Joan Wells, we need a Haaland or a Nunes. Absolutely. I'm pretty sure we'd like a Haaland unit at Palace. Gary Clark says, you know, absolute quality from Wilf there. And I think that Nigel put the comment on the screen saying, Tim, my friend, review the game again and check the player ratings. Never the worst player by far. Don't be a follower. For me, Malcolm starts, but let's not get into just slating AU. Okay, let's move on. Simon Pronger, Anderson's passing. Double thumbs up. And I'm going to look at Ian to discuss Anderson and Tim.
Okay, yeah. Well, firstly, I'm surprised Tim's got a friend. And secondly, I've got to say, Anderson was quality. How I could have missed that. The thing is, when you've got someone that good, you're just used to them hitting 60-yard balls, aren't you, onto a penny. It's the fact that when they go to IU or Wilf and it goes straight out of touch or, you know, or we get turnover. That's that. It disguises that very quality. But yes, hands down, Anderson was fantastic. I also agree with Rob about how their second goal came about. We won't go into that, but clearly you put it on there, Rob. Well done, because we were screaming that at the time. And thirdly, as Mr. Noble, whose seat I'm keeping warm, I won't tell you how I'm keeping it warm, but I'm keeping it warm. He quite rightly put out there about the XG, you know, this famous formula. And our XG was something like 1.3 or 1.4 goals expected in the game. And theirs was less than one. So work that one out. But yeah, no, I hold my hands up regarding Anderson. Yeah, I should have mentioned it. Sorry.
Just on Anderson, I saw a very interesting quote from Jamie Carragher today where he was commenting on the game. And he said, during the first half, he said, I liken Anderson to Koeman. And I thought, oh, am I overreacting? He said, by the end of the game, no, I'm not. That is enough to say the quality that we've got in Anderson.
I think Sky, they put some stats up about Anderson and his passing. And he is, well, I think he was first. I mean, he really is a baller, but we knew that anyway. And it obviously takes Sky 3 to 4 months to catch up with stats when it doesn't involve the top five or six. But anyway, you see, let's go back into the chat, and I can see Simon and Prongers turning around and saying about Anderson's passing is thumbs up. So, but yeah. Loose.
Yeah, lots of sort of comments and support. They've got another one there from George saying, yeah, Addison was pinging balls all over. And also just, again, agreeing with you, Gel, saying about how, you know, with Luca's family loss, it does affect people on it. And, you know, we shouldn't expect that it wouldn't for our players as well. Stephen Isles thought Schluppi was out of sorts on Friday. Any comment on that from the team?
Yes. Yes. I thought much the same, but again, I was, you know, and because a couple of you guys have mentioned about IU, I didn't want to make this the first game, you know, smashing up the team as such. But I mean, you get one of two things with Jeff Schlupp. You get, I don't think he knows what he's doing. He just reminds me. Trying to think of like a young Wilf, you know, he just gets the ball and you don't, there's no rhyme or reason to whatever he's going to do. He's either very good or very bad, but yeah, I didn't think he was fantastic. Tim?
I like Jeffrey Schlupp. I just think he gives us something a bit more. He's quite versatile. I don't think he had his best game probably Friday, but I don't know what role he was asked to do by Vieira. I don't know if he was asked to help Decorey to hang back and be more defensive side. I love seeing him run forward because he's so strong. But yeah, I agree. I don't think he was at his best Friday. But like I said, Arsenal first game of the season. By the end of the game, a lot more positive than after 25 minutes. How we came back into the game was brilliant, I thought. But yeah, it's a difficult one with him, I think.
Ian.
Yeah, Andrew, I'll answer that quickly. How was the entry into the ground? It was fine. Absolutely fine. I didn't have a problem with it. I know a couple of people did, but I think we get that every year. So I don't know if you heard any different, but yeah, it was absolutely fine. With regards to quickly going back to Anderson, yeah, he was fantastic. But what do you think? Do you think he's going to be with us in the next couple of seasons? But the only reason I ask that, and I'm wondering whether or not the club are already thinking about it, is we've signed and we've been chasing a number of young centre backs lately, not only for cover, but you know, I'm just, you know, because you've got Chris, what's his face, we bought from Bayern Munich. Yeah, thanks.
Chris so, Richards.
Yeah, we bought him from Bayern Munich, but also we bought a couple of 18 to 19 year old ones. You've got Jake O'Brien, who's likely to go out on loan. I think there's a piece. I think it's actually quite positive to see that we've got a bit of succession planning, hopefully, there, knowing that that's probably going to be the model. I mean, look, if those who shall be named on the South Coast can sell Sideshow Bob for 63 million, when Man City picked up Haaland for 50 million, there are obviously people's pockets you can pick out there, Chelsea being one of them, certainly. So I've no doubt that in a couple of seasons we'll see transition. But I just wonder what you thought about our transfer policy, the transfers that have come in.
I don't know if Gel's right up, but I'm quite positive with it. I think, like you said, going for young players, looking for cover, trying to sort of have a way forward rather than, oh, shoot, we've now got a really old squad, we've got to start buying players. But I think what Friday does show even more is we've got the same problem we've had since Andy Johnson and one or two others, where we don't have a goal scorer. Again, on Friday, that's what cost us the game. We don't have a player that reliably will put the ball in the net often enough. And I think that was the difference on Friday.
I think when Edouard gets his game together, I think he'll get it together. I really do. I think he'll get 15, 16 goals for us this season. John Knox has made a very interesting, sorry, Luce, but he says, this is going to annoy a lot of people because I have banged on about this for years. Do you think he is he's thinking about three at the back? I think possibly overload the midfield. I think the Premier League is all powerful. And whether you have three or four defenders against the likes of Haaland, because that's who we should be, you know, basing everything on now. He's then it doesn't matter whether we have three or four. So I would definitely like to see that we could change to a back three. E, what do you think?
Well, you and I have spoken on this very, very stream years and years.
That's why I asked you.
you gave it. See, look, I'm like Eze, I will put an open goal away, mate. Without a doubt. And, you know, and I think that's part of my reasoning behind the centre backs as well, because Richards can play anywhere across the back. And I think with the attacking talent we have, you have to have them further forward. But I think it's only then will a number 10 work for us, because at the minute they're just isolated because Wilf won't hold on to the ball, Ayew won't hold on to the ball long enough to feed it in. Or if we persist with it, they'll have to do that a lot more than they actually are. Definitely. And, you know, another ghost from the past as well, Joe, and I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it yet, your mate Mitrovic, you know. What are your thoughts on him?
You know, listen, my nephew's a Fulham supporter, and I have said for absolute ages we should sign him. He's as good as Benteke in the air. He is as good as anybody that we've got with the ball at his feet. You don't have to be quick. You literally don't have to be quick to be clever. For me, he is Glenn Murray clever, and Murray never had any pace, but he would score goals. Everywhere Glenn Murray went, he scored goals. Mitrovic, I mean, scored another two yesterday on the back of an absolute record-breaking season. And let's be honest, I don't care what anybody said about the Premier League back to the Championship. If you're scoring 30-odd, 40-odd goals at any single professional league, you are and I thought, you know, he is amazing, and it wouldn't surprise me if quite literally it isn't. But we should have been looking at someone like him, for, you know, and I still don't think he's that old. But anyway, Luce, I'm just sitting there, Mike. So Luce, what do you think?
Okay, so if we go to Kevin Benson, so thank you for joining us all the way over in New Zealand. And he's saying, can we afford a new striker now that Benteke's gone? Well, you know, we need to sign a poacher. And there's quite a few comments sort of alluding to the fact that we need a striker who can score. So what do we think, A, about Tekka's going, and, you know, how's that going to affect our finances?
Well, let me take it first, and then you can take it. Oh, you can go after, and also, you know, Tim, you can have a shout about it as well. So he's gone to join Wayne Rooney at DC United. For me, let's just say that he had taken a wage cut from what was a very large wage down to $100,000 a week. Let's just say that. So we are 5-odd million quid better off a year. I mean, that should enable us to be in, you know. You've got to be able to put that to something, surely. But anyway, go on, Ian.
Yeah, I think I've already covered. I don't think we need any more strikers. We got strikers. The problem is, and this, you know, for people that remember me a few years back on here, it's the same old rant. We don't give them the service. And when Benteke scored 15 goals, it's because Wolf was on one side, you had Yala on the other side, and they were shoving crosses in. You know, it's not bright. It's not, rocket science. That's what I was saying, I think, earlier. I think in Edouard, we've got a cracking striker. He can't play up front in his own. And I think that we have to sort the other elements of the side out to then give the forwards we've got the support they need to prove their worth. We can't judge any of our strikers until they're missing chance after chance after chance. And they're not even getting chance after chance after chance. The type of strikers that everyone would want, a Haaland or whatever, you know, who can drop deep, get the ball, then run with it and beat players off, they're way out of our league. So we have to move further up the pitch. This is probably why, you know, Joel, that it is potentially going to go three at the back, as I said, to put the attacking five further up, and then play in the opponent's half. So, no, I don't think we need another striker yet. We've got Luke Plange, we bought as a kid, who's an option. Let's see what we've got before, you know, condemning them.
Tim?
So, on Benteke, I think what sums it up is when you talk about him and you think the best thing he does for us is to defend corners, and he's a striker. So I don't think he's that. It's about time he went, and I wish him all the best. Lovely bloke. But you look at his record for us, any other profession, you have someone on that kind of strike rate or that positive note, he wouldn't be in a job for long. So, yeah, I'm not that bothered about seeing him. I agree with Ian, and I can't believe I'm saying that. He's right. It's not so much about the strikers. You need to feed them. You need to get the ball across. You need to have wingers who can run up and actually cross the ball and give them chances, not play the ball backwards. And much respect to Kevin in New Zealand. It's very early. Well done, sir.
Well, Tim, you said you don't agree with Ian much, and I certainly don't agree with Andrew Adams much of the time. But basically he's saying that Benteke leaving for Benteke is going to be good for him, and it's also going to be good for us when it comes to the wage reduction with the club. So there you go, Andrew. It's something in you to move forward. Luce, a bit more in the chat.
Yeah, so there's quite a few comments with regards to Aaron Wan-Bissaka. What do we think about that? Let me just sort of frame it a little bit better. I think, so this is Evan Pronger, I think Palace should sign Aaron Wan or Max Aarons to take on that sort of right-back spot. Also, Paul Glantz, hello, it's good to see you dialing in as well. Simon Pronger, do you think Aaron Wan-Bissaka will come back to the club? Klein is good, but he's 31. John Knox, do you think we still need to go for Aaron Wan-Bissaka? I think there's Andrew Adams says Washington Post and ESPN says yes, but not disclosed. What do we think about Aaron Wan-Bissaka?
Oh, blimey. I see that Paul Glantz has turned around and said, I forgot this mob was on a Sunday. So drink does for you, Paul. Tim.
Well, it's funny, actually. This goes back to a conversation I heard outside London Bridge on a train 2 months ago about Aaron Wan-Bissaka being sold by United and coming to a London club. And they laughed at me. Well, it may be right. Do I think it's good? I'd like to see him back. At the end of the day, he's a good defender. It didn't work out for him at United, but it didn't work out for Wilton United. I think he's still young enough. He's still got Palace in his heart. He's a South London boy, and we can make him into a great defender again, depending on how much it is, what the deal is. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
No.
I know. Andrew Adams says, "Lol, Joe, happy Sunday. Happy Sunday, Andrew." Paul Bristow said the Blassie left the month before Benteke arrived, so he wasn't delivering crosses for him. But yeah, I mean, going back to the Aaron Wan-Bissaka, I think because he's on a contract to Man United, we could cover maybe a third of his wages or whatever. A loan deal would be, I doubt it would happen now, more likely in January when, if he just really doesn't get picked to play in the Man United side. I know they have been told, there's a few players that have been told that, they've basically got to go. But it's just whether he wants to sit on whatever wages he wants. If he wants to play football, whether he just wants to earn a load of money and just rot in the reserves. But it would be a shame because, at the moment we've got 30 and 31-year-old right backs, and Ferguson doesn't look like he's going to be anywhere near, I don't know what's happening with Ferguson, Nathan Ferguson, unfortunately. I'm not going to say we wouldn't take him back because I think he would discover a little bit of form back with us. And it wouldn't be like we don't need him because, that would just be plain stupid because we would need someone of his ability, even just came back to Eric Pape when he played for us, and he must have improved since then. So, Tim, what do you think on Aaron coming back?
When you've unmuted yourself.
Good old technology this Sunday. Like I just said, I know Ian says no. I kind of interested to know his logic because, like you said, Jill, all right, that's quite getting on a bit. Saka's young. So I don't, if the deal's right, I think he'd be great for it. I don't see a problem with it.
Do you want to hear my logic then? Okay, well, for a start, he's gone backwards since he's gone to Man United. Secondly, he's on ridiculous wages at Man United. Third, he'll cost more than he's actually worth. Even if it's 10, 15 million. They still owe us part of the fee anyway, don't they? So how does that work? And we've got Chris Richards. Let's move on. Stop going back to old players. I don't understand this fascination of us going back to ex-players. We did well to get the money for him at the time. We've got a £20 million academy now. Goodbye. You know, I think in the current defenders we've got, okay, Klein surprised me. He's worth the contract and is a solid pro. And he cost us nothing to come back. So, you know, AWB's, there's a reason why no one's buying, going in for him, because he's not actually as good as we think he is. He's certainly not as good as when he left us, put it that way.
Well, I'm not sure whether, I mean, the side of it, there's always the loan system. You don't pay, very rarely do you pay all the wages from a player that's looking, you know, that the club or the other club are looking to shift away. So he's on a contract. And like I say, if he costs us 30 grand a week, he's worth 30 grand a week. Anyway, Luce, what else have we got in the chat?
Oh, there's quite a few people agreeing with Ian, and also disagreeing. We've got Tom Clark Samuel again. Tom, thank you for everything you do in the background. We've got enough right back, scoring goals is our problem. Tom Williams saying, "Nah, I disagree. I can see Aaron Wan-Bissaka in red and blue again." And also Daniel Garlick, Aaron Wan-Bissaka could be at our benefit if the deal is right. Andrew Adams, well said, Ian, someone talking sense with regards to Aaron Wan-Bissaka. So there's plenty of discussion going on there. Back to you, Joe.
Well, I mean, we were never, this was never going to be a long show. Go on, Tim.
I would just say that Andrew Adams has been very drunk. And that's why it sounds like Ian's making sense.
Unless someone's got something very, very sensible in the chat that we need to discuss, I reckon that we are pretty much done. I know our next game, so we were, I'll come to you in a second, E. We were first game of the season on Sky, and we are now going to be the first Monday night versus Liverpool. How does the chat think that we are going to, there we go, there's the games for the foreseeable. Where do people see us in a month's time? I looked at the start of the season and thought that we would be in the bottom five after the first four or five games. I don't see that changing. The only thing is, I think we just need other teams to just be worse than us while we gel. I'd say what I do want to discuss, which only came to light. I will come to you in a second. Was when half our team were 9,000 miles away, that the actual reason that the other half was still in London, and that was because I'm pretty sure that we would have covered this had we known that a lot of our top players weren't vaccinated, which is why they couldn't travel. For me, that's a surprise, because they were in a bubble, you know, the bubble last season. A bubble that you or I couldn't become part of, that was consistently broken by outsiders bringing COVID to our players. I'm very concerns that we have that amount of players. One or two, fair enough. You can have beliefs and you can be anti-drugs and you can be this, that and the other. But I think there was seven, and that's quite disturbing. I'd like to hear what you guys in the chat think about that. Ian,
I have to say I wasn't surprised. I think it was obvious from the players that were held back as to why that would have been the case. And and really, what is there you can do about it? And maybe the question should be, why has the club accepted friendlies down there, you know, knowing the entry regime, you know, based on Djokovic, etc., etc., you know, and have we paid the price for that? Moving on to the games, I think I saw that someone did some research when the fixtures came out, and our first seven games that are statistically based on the previous season's finishing places is the hardest opening run of any team in the Premier League history. So that's what we're coming up against. You know, this is what we're coming up against. And so I think if we get 4 points out of those games, I will be ecstatic. What I'm concerned about is the not the, the psychological effect they may have on the squad, because it's okay winning a game, losing a game, drawing a game, winning a game, you know, because it's up and down. If you go loss, 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 draw, loss, loss, then that's gonna be habit forming and everything else. So it's going to be interesting, but I think we'll be okay. I saw enough yesterday after 45 minutes of the squad actually playing together, what looked like the first time in a couple of months on a pitch. There are promising signs there, and we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
Yeah, I agree. I'll come to you in a second, Tim. Lee Lookwood said it's a personal choice, Jill, and it is a personal choice. And let me say that only because I know the ingredients of the injections and stuff, I probably wouldn't have had them either, but I wanted to go on holiday in March, and that's why I had enough injections to go on holiday. Again, it's a personal choice, but the thing is, all along, our club was told that all our players were in a bubble, and now we know that, you know, that there were multiple players that just weren't, you know, these players, they get millions and millions of pounds. Maybe still with all the millions of pounds that the club play them, that they still get to use that personal choice. But anyway, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, we had to be vaccinated in New Zealand to come back. So, I mean, it is personal choice. It's, I don't know what to say on it, really. I mean, there's not what you can say. It's not arbitrary to have the vaccination. So, yeah, I mean, what can you say? There's not really much we can say on it.
Well, there you go. Anyway, before this turns into a personal choice or a slanging match between players that did, players that didn't, fans believe that they can and fans believe that they can't, we will end it there. Just very quickly, John Knox said it's the Brighton match. They'll be playing on Saturday at 3 p.m. As I said, they were. As I said, but all the games are on TV already. I believe that all the games up until Brighton are now. They can't be changed, from what I understand. So, anyway, Liverpool away. Very, very quickly, next 20 seconds. How do you think we're going to get on, Lucy, in the chat, Lucy?
So just before we, but please do put your predictions in the chat there. But just before that, I just wanted to just put out a quick reminder. Don't forget, you can join the Super Six League, and the code is GVN3NY. And there's also the Fantasy Football League as well. So the code for that is HVK8S8. But just have a look on all the socials. We've advertised it there, but come and join in. It's just for fun. There's no money involved, so just sort of come and join in and just sort of be with your friends with that one. So some of the scores coming in: Rob Cranfield 1 all, Joan Wells, hello Joan, says a loss. John Knox 2 all, George 3-1 to Liverpool. Tom 2 all, Stephen Isles, I think it'll be a loss. Paul McNamara, OB 3-1 to the Scousers. Paul Glance, I'll be up in Scouseland, win 2-4. Loving the optimism there. Tom Clark Samuel thinks Edouard and Anderson, I guess that's the score. Daniel Garlick, 2-1 Palace. Andy Stacey, 2-2. I can't see us winning, so I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
Ian?
I can't see past Liverpool, especially after Fulham put them to the sword and should have won. The only thing I would say is we need to learn from the way that Fulham played against Liverpool. If we do that, we might have half a chance. But other than that, I can't see anything other than a 3-0 Liverpool win.
Well, we would have had our spies at that game, because that's exactly what one of my friends used to do for Liverpool Football Club. The games that are coming up before, so watch the opponents. I think we will lose 2-0. Tim, how do you think we're going to get on?
Again, I'm going to agree with Ian. This is shocking. 3-0 to Liverpool, I'm afraid.
Well, on that terrifyingly on those stats. Yes, yeah, it's terrible when you two start agreeing with each other. Listen, thanks everyone for tuning in tonight. You'll be in the capable hands of Ian Noble. He'll be in the hot seat making a meal of what I've been doing tonight. I'd just like to thank you, again, for all tuning in. We've managed to get through the first game of the season and a few other little bits and pieces, and it's taken an hour. We won't take any more time. So from all of us at the Red and Blue Review, it's time to say good night. Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night.
See you, everyone.